الله الرحمن الرحيم أن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تبارك وتعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار Inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala, we're going to resume talking about some of the tafsir of the ayats from Surah Al-Baqarah. And in today's lesson, inshallah, we're going to be dealing with two ayats from the Quran that we consider to be two of the more difficult ayats of the Quran to understand. And they are ayats that are basically misunderstood by a lot of people, as well as the ikhtilaf that the people have in these ayahs, meaning the ulama, is a lot. And more than likely, it's one of those ayahs that the human beings are not going to know the haqq or the reality of it, or the truthfulness of this matter until they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is going to be from those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about over and over in the Quran when He says, ثُمَّ تَرْجَعُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَخْتَلِفُونَ. And then you people return to Allah, and then He's going to tell you about those things that you differed in. So when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, every single ikhtilaf that the people had amongst themselves, the truth is going to be made manifest. Whether that ikhtilaf is between the Muslims and the Jews, the Muslims and the Christians, like Yawm al-Jum'ah, like the ta'meen of the Salah, whatever the issue is, whether the ikhtilaf is between the Muslims and fiqh, or whether the ikhtilaf is between the Jews and the Jews, or the Jews and the Christians, the Christians and the Christians, all of the issues of ikhtilaf will be dealt with Yawm al-Qiyamah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make manifest on that day what the haqq was concerning every kind of ikhtilaf. And these ayahs that we're going to deal with, inshaAllah, going to be from that, because there's no way anyone can come now and say the meaning of the ayat is this or that, because there are no other ayats that clearly specify that the meaning is this or that. And there is no authentic sunnah from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam expressing it's this or that. So the issue was left up to the ijtihad of the ulama. And at the beginning of them, some of the sahabas like Ibn Abbas and like Abdullah Ibn Mas'ud. But before getting into the ayahs, let me just say that these ayahs and the ayahs that are similar to them, we have to remember this rule or this qa'idah in order to understand these ayahs. And this rule can be found in Surah Ali Imran in ayat number 6 or 7. And that's the saying of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابِ مِنْهُ آيَاتٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ هُنَّ أُمُ الْكِتَابِ وَأُخْرَ مُتَشَابِهَاتٌ فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ وَابْتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلِ وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِهِ كُلُّ مِنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا وَمَا يَذَّكَّرُ إِلَّا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Allah عز وجل, Al-Wahid Al-Qahhar, tells us in these ayahs, and this is the qa'ida or the rule that you always have to keep in front of your eyes. When you read in the Quran those ayahs that you do not understand, Allah says, He, Allah, is the one who has revealed upon you, O Muhammad, the Quran. In it is ayat muhkamat, ayats that are clear in their meaning. They are very apparent. When you read it, you understand. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Say, He, Allah, is one. That's a very easy ayat to understand. In it are ayats that are very clear. And these ayats are the mother of the book. They are the foundation of the book. The majority of the book is of these types of ayats. And there are other ayats, mutashabihat. Ayats that can have more than one meaning. Ayats that may be difficult to understand. Ayats that may be impossible to understand. Alif Lam Mim. No one knows what it means. The ayahs that we're going to deal with today, ayahs that are difficult to understand, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says about them, as for those who have diseases in their hearts, they chase after these sorts of ayahs, trying to make fitna, rancor, trying to cause fitna amongst the people. And they chase after these ayahs, trying to get the understanding of it. Allah Ta'ala said, and no one understands them except Allah. And then he went on to say, and those who have been grounded in knowledge, ar-rasikhuna, they say, we believe in all of it. All of it is from our Lord. Allah Ta'ala goes on to say, and none will reflect, and none will comprehend, except those who have been given knowledge, ulul albab. Before going on, Ikhwan, you have to understand that point. This is a qa'ida, a rule that you always have to put in front of your eyes. When you read ayahs of the Quran that you do not understand, that you should just believe in it. Before going on, let me just say concerning this ayah, a very important aspect of this ayah is that in the Quran, there are different signs that the ulama have put in the Quran to help you read the Quran properly, to help you read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly. This Quran was revealed, and there's a way that you are to read it. It's not for anyone to pick up the Quran and he does not give the Quran his haqq. And in the hadith that we've been telling you so many times, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam said, الَّذِي يَقْرُ الْقُرْآنَ وَهُوَ مَاهِرٌ بِهِ مَا سَفْرَتِ الْكِرَامَ الْبَرَرَ وَالَّذِي يَقْرُ الْقُرْآنَ وَهُوَ يَتَطَعْتَعُ فِيهِ وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ الشَّاقُ لَهُ أَجْرَانَ. Whoever reads the Qur'an and he is an expert in reading the Qur'an, he will be raised up يوم القيامة with the angels. And whoever reads the Qur'an and he finds difficulty in it, he stutters in reading it, and he finds difficulty in reading it, he will get two rewards. The aspect of the hadith that we want to deal with is the first part of the hadith. Whoever reads the Quran and he's an expert in reading it, meaning he reads it with the proper tajweed. He knows the rulings concerning al-idgham and izhar and iqlab and qalqala. He knows these rulings and he reads it properly. The med in the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ, he knows how long to say إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. He knows. So in this ayat that we read concerning the qa'ida or the rule, in it is a very important treasure that you need to understand. And that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا يَعْلَمُهُ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. In the Quran, you'll find what's known as alamat al-waqf, the signs that you're supposed to know so that you'll know when you read the Quran in Arabic where you're supposed to stop and where you're not supposed to stop. Like in English, if you were to write or to speak, and you are not to punctuate your speech in the proper places or put the dots at the proper places to indicate that you're at the end of a sentence, people will look at you as being uneducated, even more so in the book of Allah. There are places where you have to stop, because if you don't, you change the meaning of the ayah. There are places where you should not stop, because if you do, you'll change the meaning of the ayah. So these alamat, or these signs of the Quran in this ayah, the reality of it comes true, because in it, where Allah says, no one knows the meaning of those ayat, alif lam mim, except Allah. Stop. If you didn't stop and you kept reading, what you would be saying is, no one knows what they mean except Allah and those who have knowledge. And even those who have knowledge do not know what alif lam mim. Even those who have knowledge do not know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means in these ayats that we're going to do. No one can say for sure it means this. No one. So these signs are as such. There are six signs. We're going to share them with you brothers today so that you can take this knowledge, look at the Quran in Arabic, and compare what we say to what you see and apply this rule. The first sign is the little meme that you find on top of the ayah. It's a little meme. When you're reading the ayah, there's a small meme on top of the ayah. A small meme. Whenever you come to this meme, anywhere in the Quran, that means that it's a meme. The waqf here is lazim. It means you should stop at this place. You have to stop. You should stop at this place. Wherever you see this small meme, if you see that, stop. The second sign is you'll see a la over the ayah. La, lam alif, la, a small one over the ayah. Whenever you come to an ayah that has this small la over it, you should not stop. You should continue to read. Don't stop at that place. Continue with the ayah, what comes next. Thirdly, you'll find in the Quran a small sign over the ayah that has a jeem. A jeem. If you come to an ayah that has this jeem, it's the same whether you stop or keep going. You can't say this is better or that's better. If you stop, it's okay. And if you keep going, it's okay. The fourth sign from the signs of when you should stop in reading the Quran is when you come to Sad Lam Ya. The word is written very small, Sad with a Lam and a Ya. If you come to this sign, you can stop and you can keep going, but it's better to keep going. Sad Lam Ya will be above the ayah. If you see this sign, you can stop here and you can keep going, but it's better and more proper for you to stop. I mean to keep going. Afwan. Naam, like sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sad Lam Ya. The fifth sign is Qaf. Qaf, like in Quran. Qaf, Lam, Ya. If you see this sign over the ayah, you can stop or you can keep going. But it's better to stop. Qaf, Lam, Ya. Naam, this is all together. Qaf, Lam, Ya, together. Sad, Lam, Ya, together. If you see Qaf, Lam, Ya, the fifth sign, then what you should do with this fifth sign is you can stop and you can keep going, but it's better and more appropriate to stop. And finally, the last sign, you'll find in the Quran three dots like this. One, two, three. And then another set, one, two, three. You'll always find two sets like this. One, two, three. One, two, three. All the time, wherever you see this in the Quran, you'll find two sets. What are you to do when you come to this? If you read to the first one and you stop, you have to read through the second one and keep going. You can't stop at the second one. If you stop at the first one, you have to read through the second one. Don't stop at the second one. That's the first thing. If you come to the first one, you're reading from right to left. You come to the first three dots. If you stop here, you can't stop at the second one. You have to keep going. To stop at the second one is to read the book of Allah wrongly. If you read and you pass the second one, you go past the second one, you have to stop at the... If you go past the first one, if you go past the first one, you have to stop at the second one. You cannot go past the first one and go past the second one. You're reading the Quran wrong. If you go past the first one, you have to stop at the second one. I hope that's understood. Those are the six signs of the alamat al-waqf, where you stop in the Quran. So an example of those three dots here is in Surah Al-Baqarah, in the second ayah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبُ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. You can read it like that. That's stopping at the first one. And then you say, فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. The second three dots are over the ha and فِيهِ. So you say, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبُ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Or you can bypass the first one by saying, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. But do not do this. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This is a mistake. If you turn it to Surah Al-Ma'idah, Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayat number 26, ayat number 26, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran to Musa concerning Bani Israel, Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayat number 26, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala al-azim, al-wahid, al-qahhar says to Musa, قَالَ فَإِنَّهَا مُهَرَّمَةٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً يَتِيهُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. So we stopped at the first three signs. قَالَ فَإِنَّهَا مُهَرَّمَةٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً يَتِيهُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. That's stopping at the first three dots. To stop at the second one would be like this. قَالَ فَإِنَّهَا مُحَرَّمَةٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً يَتِيهُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Do you brothers see that? Do you brothers see that? Are you with me? I don't know, those Pakistani Qurans, I think they call them. They don't have them. Now you have to get the other Quran. I don't know what that is. You have to get the other Quran. Don't use the Pakistani Quran. So those are the six signs for when to stop and when not to stop. There's another very important point, Ikhwan, and that is the point of what? The point of another type of stop, but really this stop here is really in the different types of recitation. In the recitation of Nafi' and Asim, as well as the recitation of Al-Imam Al-Shatibi. Because we know there are different ways to recite the Qur'an. Maliki Yawm Al-Din, Maliki Yawm Al-Din. You could say Maliki Yawm Al-Din or Maliki Yawm Al-Din. There are many different ways. In the Qira'ah or the recitation of Al-Imam Nafi' Asim, this recitation, if you see this little scene over the word, then here you should also stop. For an example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. Don't say بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. You say بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. You say this بَلْ and you have a pause. رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. That's in Surah what? Mutaffifin. And in Surah Al-Qiyamah, there's another one. What is it in Surah Al-Qiyamah? We'll find it, inshallah. So those are concerning the stops in the Quran. Here, the ayahs that we're going to deal with, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala, are ayat 101 and 102 from Surah Al-Baqarah. 101 and 102. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ إِنْدِ اللَّهِ مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَهُمْ نَبَذَ فَرِيقٌ مِّنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ كَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُو الشَّيَاطِينُ عَلَى مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانَ وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانُ وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السِّحْرَ وَمَا أُنْزِلَ عَلَى الْمَلَكَيْنِ بِبَابِلَ هَارُوتَ وَمَارُوتَ وما يعلمان من أحد حتى يقولا إنما نحن فتنة فلا تكفر فيتعلمون منهما ما يفرقون به بين المرء وزوجه وما هم بضارين به من أحد إلا بإذن الله ويتعلمون ما يضرهم ولا ينفعهم ولقد علموا لمن اشترى ما له في الآخرة من خلاق ولبئس ما شروا به أنفسهم لو كانوا يعلمون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the ayahs of Surah Baqarah that we just read, he said, and when there came to them a messenger confirming what was with them, a party of those who were given the scripture threw away the book of Allah behind their backs as if they did not know. They followed what the devils gave out in the lifetime of Sulaiman. Sulaiman did not disbelieve, but the devils disbelieved, teaching men magic and such things that came down at Babylon to the two angels, Harut and Marut. But neither of these two angels taught anyone anything until they had said to them, we are only a trial for you, so do not disbelieve. And from these two angels, people learn that which will cause separation between a man and his wife. But they could not harm anyone except by Allah's permission. And the people learn that which harmed them and that which does not profit them. And indeed, they knew that the buyers of this magic will have no share in the hereafter. And how bad indeed was that for which they sold their own selves, if they only knew. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the ayat, and when there came a messenger from Allah, obviously this messenger was Abu al-Qasim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the Jews in Medina. Because the first contact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had when it was a significant contact with the Jews was when he made the hijrah to Medina. Before that he had some contact with the Jews when he went to Sham. He had some contact with people who were on the deen of the Christians. When the revelation came down to him, the uncle or the cousin of Khadija, his wife at the time, knew about Christianity. But the significant contact that he had with the Jews was when he made the hijrah to Medina to set up the Islamic State. So when he came to the Jews, he came with that which confirmed what the Jews had already known about him and about his deen and about the book that he brought. So when he came to them, they took the book of Allah, meaning the Torah, and they put it behind their backs and they act as if they didn't know anything about what the Torah was telling them about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala went on to say, they followed that which the devils gave out during the lifetime of Solomon, Sulaiman. At this time, we need to understand that here in this translation, you do not understand very clearly what you would understand in Arabic, and that is the connection between these two ayat. At the end of the first ayat and the beginning of the second ayat, it's clear that there is a connection. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the first ayat, نَبَذَ فَرِيقٌ مِّنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ كَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُوا الشَّيَاطِينَ عَلَى مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانَ. They put the book of Allah behind their backs, and then they follow what the shayateen gave out during the times of Sulaiman. So the two ayahs are connected. So what happened? When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first approached the Jews, and he started to debate with them, and he started to call them to al-Islam, they took the Torah, and they started to argue with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam based upon the Torah. But when they started to argue with him, they found that he was just as knowledgeable as they were in the Torah. And they found that the Torah was actually calling them to believe in him. And they found that every time they tried to argue him with the Torah, they had that in the Torah was telling them that they were wrong and he was right. So what did they do? They took the Torah and they put it behind their back. Meaning, in Arabic, if someone was to put something behind their back, this is a phrase that's used to imply that a person does not pay attention to a thing. So they took the Torah and put it behind their back, i.e. disregarded it. And they started to argue with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with those things that the shayateen left from the time of Sulaiman. What happened during the time of Sulaiman was that, as you all know, the jinn, prior to the Quran being revealed, had the ability to go to the sama' and to listen to what was being decreed in the heavens. They would get on top of one another until they landed all the way up to the sky, and one of them who was at the top would hear that something was going to happen, and then he would tell the one and it would go down, and then the magician or the kahina, the soothsayer, one of the jinn would go to him and say to him, so-and-so is going to die today, so-and-so is going to be born today, it's going to rain today, this is going to happen, you're going to go into the war and you're going to lose the war. So when the people saw that the things were happening just as this magician or this soothsayer was saying from Bani Israel, they started to believe in the soothsayer. So this superstition and this kufr started to spread amongst Bani Israel. And they started to write this stuff down. Soothsayer so-and-so is reliable. Whenever he tells you something, believe it, and so forth and so on. When this was heard by Sulaiman, he gathered up all of those books that they wrote down, and he told the people, whoever believes in this, I'm going to kill you. And he took the books and he buried it under his throne. As time went on, Sulaiman finally died. And we know that Sulaiman, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, had power over the jinn. He had power over the human beings because of the army that he had. He had the ability to understand the animals. He had the ability to have the mountains sing the praises of Allah with him. He had the ability to travel with the wind. He had power over a lot of things, just like his father had power over the hadid or the iron. So when the Prophet ﷺ was praying one time, the Sahaba saw him doing his hand like this in salat. So after salat, they asked him, why were you doing that? He said, verily there was a shaitan who tried to come and he tried to break my salat. So I grabbed him by his neck and I was squeezing his neck, and I could feel the coldness of his tongue on my hand. And had it not been for the dua of my brother Sulaiman, I would have tied them up to the pillar of the masjid so that you could have seen them. The dua of Sulaiman was, oh my Lord, give me a kingdom that you will not give anyone else after me.
So Sulaiman had nabuwah, prophecy, and he had dominion over the world. So when Sulaiman died, Shaitan came to Bani Israel, the form of a man. And he said to them, if you dig up this place, you'll see what Sulaiman, what gave him all of his power. So they dug up the books and they said, what? This is what gave Sulaiman the power over the jinn and the human beings and everything. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he used to talk to the Jews used to say that Sulaiman was not a Nabi. And that's why when you read the Bible today, you find Sulaiman and his father doing things that no one would do. Sulaiman, they said in the Bible right now, saw the Queen of Sheba, and her beauty pleased him so much that he started making sajda to the sun so that he can marry her. A prophet of Allah making shirk. His father Dawood, they said, was walking on top of some of the houses, and he looked, seeing a woman taking a bath naked. He asked them, whose woman is that? They said, that's the wife of the captain of the army. He said, okay, tomorrow put him in the front of the army so that he can be killed. When he was killed, he took his woman. So the Yahud did not consider Sulaiman to be a prophet in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the other ayat after this, مَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانِ وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا. Sulaiman was not a kafir, as the Jews said to the Prophet. Sulaiman was a kafir. How could you think it was a prophet? So now when these people were arguing with the Prophet, and they found these things in their book, telling them to believe in Muhammad, and there are so many things. For an example, they came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam, and they said to the Prophet, O Muhammad, we're going to ask you four things. If you can answer the question, we'll follow you. This hadith has different variations to it. They said the first question is, because this was told to them, if you ask the Prophet about this, then what's going to happen is if he answers correctly, you know he's a prophet. This is one of the signs to Bani Israel. They said, what causes the child to look like the mother or to look like the father? The Prophet ﷺ said, if I answer you correctly, would you people take a covenant out with Allah? Would you take a contract out with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That if I answer the questions properly, you will follow me? They say, yes. So they took a covenant out with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, the thing that makes a child a male or a female is that when the mother and the father have a relation, the man and the woman have a relation, if the water of the man overpowers the water of the woman, the child will be a male. And if the water of the woman overpowers the water of the man, the child will be a female. They say, you've spoken the truth. That's correct. They said, what will be the first food that the people of Jannah will eat? He said that they will eat from the liver of a certain type of fish. He said, that's correct, that's true. They said, what was it that caused Ya'qub to make a particular food upon him haram? And why did he do so? He said, because Ya'qub became very, very sick, and he said, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cures him, he's not going to eat the favorite food to him, which was camel's meat, and he wasn't going to drink the milk from the camel. They said, you've spoken the truth. That's correct. They said, the last question, who brings you the revelation? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Jibril. They said, oh, now we don't believe in you, because if you would have said Mikael, we would have followed you. For verily, Jibril is the one who comes down with war and famine. And Mikael is the one who comes down with mercy and rain. Mikael is the one who comes down with mercy and rain. As for this Jibril, he was the one who destroyed Bani Israel. By Allah's permission, of course, with Nebuchadnezzar, as we talked about last week. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the Quran the ayat in which Allah ta'ala says, قُلْ مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوٌّ لِجِبْرِيلِ فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلَهُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ هُدًى وَبُشْرًا لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Say unto them, whoever is an enemy to Jibreel, verily, he is the one who brings it down on your heart, meaning the Quran, to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as a guidance and giving glad tidings for those who believe. That's why this ayat was revealed, because of this incident with the Yahud. In another situation, to show that the Yahud knew about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from their book, is the fact that when the Prophet was calling these people to al-Islam, they were arrogant and haughty and they refused the haq. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah in the Quran, ayah number 61 in Ali Imran, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَمَنْ حَاجَّكَ فِيهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ فَقُلْ تعالوا ندعو أبناءنا وأبناءكم ونساءنا ونساءكم وأنفسنا وأنفسكم ثم نبتهل فنجعل لعنة الله على الكاذبين. Allah Ta'ala said to the Prophet, so whoever argues with you in this matter after the knowledge has come to you, meaning these Jews and these Christians, then say unto them, we'll bring our sons, you bring your sons. We'll bring our women folk, you bring your women folk. We'll bring ourselves and you bring yourselves. And then let us earnestly invoke the curse of Allah to be upon those who lie. When this ayat was revealed on the Prophet ﷺ, the Messenger of Allah went to his house. He got Fatima, Hussein, and Hassan, and Ali. And he came out. And they were walking behind him. He said, let's make this dua. The Jews said, no, we refuse to make the dua, because they knew if they made that dua, the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to come upon them. Clear evidence. But in spite of them not making the dua, the curse of Allah still came down upon them, and that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given supremacy over them. He killed some of them and threw the rest of them out of Medina. In Surah Al-Baqarah, a few ayahs back from this ayah, actually, what number is it? 98? No, before 98, not that one. 97. Now, Ikhwan, Abu Musa. In the past, again, they said in the hadith, Jibril came with destruction. Meaning when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to punish them doing the problems that they had, like Nebuchadnezzar or whatever the problem was, they assumed or they said that Jibril was the reason. Jibril was the one, alayhi salatu wasalam, who came with that punishment. That was their understanding. And it's possible. It's possible, because Jibril came to the Prophet ﷺ when the people of Ta'if stoned the Prophet when he went to give them dawah. And he said, O Muhammad, verily these are the two angels of these two big mountains. All you have to do is order me and I'll order them. And they will bring these mountains and they will crush the people of Ta'if. So Jibril was present when that happened. Jibril was the one who was going to make that happen. So he's the angel of revelation, and he has, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the ability to do like this. But of course, that's not a legitimate reason for the Jews to take Jibril as an enemy, because he first of all was only executing the orders of Rabbil Alameen because of the transgressions of Bani Israel. So we see how Bani Israel, we the Muslims, are similar to them in that the Muslim community is in the state that it's in because of what our own hands have put forth. But what do? We blame everyone else except ourselves. Our problems are caused by Europe. Our problems are caused by the white man. Our problems are caused by the rulers of the Muslims. No, our problems are caused by us, the people of this community. And those other people play a part, no doubt. But the real problem is us. And Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has given them the ability to inflict upon us this type of punishment because of what we do. وَمَا أَصَابَتْكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا مِمَّا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. There is no musibah or catastrophe that befalls you people except it's from what your hands have put forth. So now, ikhwan, we move on to this issue of these two angels and this magic. First of all, concerning the two angels, Harut and Marut, there's a lot of ikhtilaf from the ulama as to how we understand these ayahs. And for those of you who know Arabic, you can appreciate better the mahawalat, or the attempts that the ulama made to get an understanding that will fit our aqidah. And in my humble opinion, it's very, very difficult to do that. And the easiest thing is just to take the apparent meaning of these ayats and to say Allah knows best. First of all, we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us, but Sulaiman did not disbelieve, but the shayateen disbelieved, and they taught people magic. They taught them that which came down on the two angels at Babylon, Harut and Marut. And Harut and Marut did not teach anyone before, except that they said, verily we are a fitna, so do not disbelieve. There are those from the ulama who say that Harut and Marut were two angels. And that seems to be the case in the ayah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that which came down upon the two angels at Babylon, Harut and Marut. But how is it possible that two angels can come and teach the people kufr? Because this ayat is one of the clear proofs from al-Islam that shows that magic is kufr. To practice it is kufr. And to teach it is kufr. وَلَكِنَ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السِّحْرَ. They made disbelief because they taught the people kufr, as-sihr, magic. So how is it possible that the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are going to go to the people and they're going to teach them that which will lead them to disbelief? So because of this, some of the ulama said no, Harut and Marut are not angels. But in this ayat, Harut and Marut, we need to deal with this ma. You know, we have different kind of ma. You know, ma. If you say ma hadha, you say to a person, ma ismuka. We said to Abu Ruqayya, ma ismuka. What would Abu Ruqayya say back? Naam, what's your name? Ma, what is your name? And then you can have a different type of ma. Ma and nafi. For an example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah is not incognizant of what you people do. مَا نَفِي, the مَا of negation. Allah is not مَا وَمَا اللَّهُ. Allah is not incognizant of what you do. So there's the مَا of negation. Another type of مَا is the ma that they call ism al-mawsula. I don't know what that is in English, but it means al-ladhi. Al-ladhi. So the ulama say that this ma here means al-ladhi. Wal-ladhi unzila. No, the ma here is al-ladhi. That's what it means. But the ulama said that this ma means no, a negation. So it will read like this. The ma of negation. It will read like this.
Sulaiman didn't disbelieve, but the shayateen disbelieved. They taught the people magic. And magic was not revealed upon the two angels at Babylon, Harut and Marut. You have this in Arabic, where you have things not being said, but they are implied. For an example, in English, I was to say to the brother Abu Ruqayya, are you going to the Dars tonight? Are you going to the lesson tonight? And he responds by saying, yes, I'm going. He cut off, yes, I'm going to the Dars tonight, because it's understood. So even in English, like in Arabic, it's permissible for you to cut things out of the sentence if it's going to be understood. So here, for this type of ma, the ma of negation, they say it has to be the meaning of it. And it, nothing was revealed to the two angels, that magic was not revealed to them. But as you can see, this is very, very...